Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Ches, Chapter 8. In the last Perek, Yechezkel prepares those in exile for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. In the next four Prakim, Yechezkel will relate a nevuah regarding why and how the Shechina is departing from the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. In this nevuah, Hashem will transport Yechezkel to Yerushalayim, where he will witness the sins of Yerushalayim and the subsequent departure of Hashem from his place on earth. Yechezkel will see Hashem beginning to withdraw from the Mikdash as he ascends in his Merkava. We are already familiar with the Merkava from its description in Perek Aleph. In the last Perek, Perek Zion, Chapter 7, I had recommended reading the text out loud because of the alliteration, word choice, and rhythm. This Perek, Perek Ches, reads like a screenplay. There are vivid descriptions of all the events Yechezkel experiences. As you read the Perek, try to visualize Yechezkel's words. As we will learn in the first pasuk, Yechezkel is sitting in exile, in Bavel, in his house, surrounded by the elders of his community. It has already been 6 years since they were all exiled from Yerushalayim with Jehoiachin, and Nebuchadnezzar has not yet tried to capture the rest of the land living in Israel. According to the Das Mikra, they are there questioning whether the passage of time is a sign that they may soon be able to return to Israel, and that Nebuchadnezzar's interest in Yerushalayim was only a passing phase. As they sit questioning him, Yechezkel receives a powerful nevuah, putting the questions to rest for the last time. In this parak, we hear about idol worship from those living in Yerushalayim that make the end a foregone conclusion. The goal of these series of prakim is to help the elders adjust to their new reality. In Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11, Yechezkel will relate the negative message to those gathered. He will convince them that though they are far from the Beis HaMikdash, they are never far from Hashem, wherever they may live. They can establish shuls and houses of learning to begin a new era in living according to the Torah. Perek Ches, Chapter 8, has 5 sections. First, Yechezkel is taken to Yerushalayim. Second, he sees and describes a form that was installed in the Beis HaMikdash. Third, he witnesses the transgressions of the elders of Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin, being done privately in their home. Fourth, he sees a group of women crying for Tammuz, an activity related to idol worship, on the Temple Mount in the Temple Courtyard. Finally, he sees a group of men with their backs to the Kodesh HaKadashim in the Temple Courtyard, bowing to the sun. It is important to examine the words of the Perek to understand what is happening to Yechezkel at this time. The Perek begins, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayhi bashana hashishis, bashishi b'chamisha l'chodesh, ani yoshev b'vesi. It was in the 6th year, as Rashi explains, to the exile of Yehoiachin, in the month of Elul, the 6th month, on the 5th day. The Seder Olam Rabba tells us that this year was a leap year, so it occurred after Yechezkel had already gotten up from lying on his side for 430 consecutive days, as we had read about in previous Prakim. He was now sitting in his home. The Abayar Benel explains why Yechezkel frames the Nevuah with the date. Some dates in our lives are memorable. You remember your wedding, you remember your birthday. People will ask you where you were on 9/11. For Yechezkel, this Nevuah was that kind of memorable event. He got such a powerful Nevuah, even though he was outside of Israel, so that he remembers the exact time and where he was and who was with him. The pasuk continues, V'ziknei Yehuda yoshvim l'fanai v'tipol alai sham yad Hashem. The elders of Yehuda were sitting before me, and they fell on me there, the hands of God. The presence of the elders was important to the progression of the events of the Perek, and so it is mentioned here. Yechezkel was hosting a group of leaders who had been exiled from Israel. They had come to learn from him and ask him questions. As they spoke to him, and according to some Mefarshim, challenged him about whether they should return to Israel, the hand of Hashem fell on him, which means he had an extraordinarily strong prophetic experience. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, describes Yechezkel's depiction of Hashem's Shechina as he experienced it. The words in this pasuk are similar to words used in Perek Aleph. Rashi tells us, like the words in Perek Aleph, with Maaseh Merkava, these words should not be studied. There is one interesting difference that we should point out. In this Perek, Yechezkel mentions Chashmal first, and only in the next Prakim does he mention the other parts of the Merkava. The Rakia, the Kisei, the throne, the Ofanim, the wheels. In Perek Aleph, the elements were written in the reverse order. According to the Barbanel, this is because there is no angel or intermediary serving as a barrier between Hashem and the Jewish people at this point. The judgment and punishment will come from Hashem, not through a messenger. In Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Yechezkel describes how in his vision the hand of Hashem lifts him up by the hair on his head, as it terms it, Bitzitzis Roshi, and carries him to Yerushalayim. It is as if he is being dragged and forced against his will to see the images that are about to be shown to him. In Yerushalayim, he is brought to an inner gate on the Temple Mount that faces north and sees what is termed Semel Hakina HaMakneh, the image of jealousy that provokes jealousy. According to the Abarbanel and the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim, this vision did not happen in real life. To understand where Yechezkel is standing, let's describe the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was built on Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, which was a square complex. Within the Beis HaMikdash grounds, there was a large rectangular walled area oriented from east to west. This courtyard area was subdivided into two square sections. When coming from the east, the first section was called the Ezras Nashim, the women's area. Going further east, the second section was called the Azara. The Azara section had entrance doors on all four sides. When you come into the Azara from the Ezras Nashim, the first 11 Amos were termed the Ezras Yisrael, and all Jews could go in there. Then came the Ezras Kohanim, where only Kohanim could enter. In Ezra's Kohanim, there was a large mizbeach with a long, wide ramp which took up a good part of the width of the Azara. After the mizbeach was a building shaped like an upside-down T toward the back of the Azara, though one could walk around this building in all directions. The long, horizontal piece in the front was called the Ulam. Behind it was a narrower, longer section called the Heichal, which tells the Kodesh with the menorah and mizbeach for Ketores. Beyond that was a curtain that closed off the Kodesh HaKadashim, which held the Aron. The Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim had the same dimensions as they did in the Mishkan. In this pasuk, Yechezkel enters the Azara, the temple courtyard, through a gate that faced the north side of the Mizbeach, where he sees the base for an idol that had been there during an earlier time. Menashe and his son Amon had publicly desecrated the Beis HaMikdash by placing an idol there. Menashe had intended this idol to be a direct competition to Hashem. The image was placed in the north, according to Rashi, to compete with Hashem, as it was near where the major karbanos were slaughtered. Also, Menashe gave it four faces, duplicating those on the Merkava, the chariot of Hashem, to challenge and taunt Hashem, as we will learn in the next psukim. It was placed by an entrance, so everyone coming in would notice it. Yoshiyahu, who cleansed the nation of its idols, destroyed this idol. However, the Malbim says the Jewish people never did a complete tshuva for that act, and so they are being held to account now. The Da Sofrim suggests that it could be that someone installed a small hidden idol somewhere on the Temple Mount, known only to a few, so that it went undisturbed by those who would have defended the honor of the Beis HaMikdash, like Yirmiyahu. The Mefarshim agree that there was no public idol in the courtyard at this time. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. When Yechezkel enters the Beis HaMikdash, he sees the glory of Hashem, Kimar e asher isi bebek'ah, like the vision like I saw in the plain, in Prakim Aleph and Beis. Hashem is on his Merkava. He is about to move, to leave the Beis HaMikdash, and will do so after showing Yechezkel the reason for his departure. In Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Hashem asked Yechezkel to look toward the north. Surprisingly, he saw, Mitzafon l'shar ha-mizbeach, semel hakina hazeh babia. Northward of the gate of the altar, there was this image of jealousy in the entryway. Rav Eisman points out in his commentary published by Art Scroll that although no idol was there in the hearts of the Jewish people, they still considered the idol to be there. Yechezkel was seeing their inner truth rather than the public display. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Hashem asks a question that he will ask multiple times in this parak. Haroa atamahim osim, do you see what they are doing? They are doing this to make Hashem abandon the Mikdash. Va'ot hashuv, tira toivos gedolos. You will again see even greater abominations. Come with me, and I will show you more extreme examples of idol worship. Next, in Psukim Zayin through Tes, verses 7 to 9, Hashem brings him to a hole in the wall and tells him to expand the hole so that he will uncover a door. Through this hidden door, which symbolizes being able to peer into private homes, he would be able to see outside the Beis HaMikdash, and he would see even greater abominations that were being done in the secrecy of people's homes, but never in public, so the truth of the people's behavior was hidden. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Yechezkel sees, Kol tavnis remes ubehema sheket, every detestable form of creeping things and beasts, the kol gilulei beis Yisrael, and all the idols of the house of Israel, mechuke al hakir, etched on a wall, saviv, saviv, all the way round about. In the privacy of their homes, the nation was serving the most detestable creatures. Once they rejected Hashem's hashkacha, Hashem's providence over their life, they were subject to the whims of all the animals of the world, the bats and the moles, as are discussed in Sefer Yeshaya. In the following psukim, Yechezkel only describes seeing 71 men. In this pasuk, it refers to all the idols of the house of Israel. The culture of the nation allowed these secret societies of idol worshippers to develop. Thus, everyone could be held accountable for the actions that arose from a collective attitude. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. He also sees 70 men, who the Mefarshim interpret are the Sanhedrin, the high court, being led by Ya'azaniyahu ben Shafan, the head of the Sanhedrin, a prominent man, all bringing Ketores, Vasar Anan HaKetores Oleh, a thick cloud of incense went up. The leaders of the Jewish people, the source of their laws, were worshipping idols in secrecy. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Hashem explains the rationale of these leaders who are performing their ceremonies in darkness and privacy. Ki omrim, because they say, Ein Hashem roe osanu, azav Hashem es aretz. Hashem does not see us, Hashem has left the land. What they are saying is that Hashem has left us to fate and the control of nature. There is no hashkacha, divine providence, and therefore they felt the need to sacrifice to idols to placate the gods of nature. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Hashem tells Yechezkel he will show him even greater abominations. Vayavei osi el pesach shar beis Hashem, asher al tzafona, v'hinei sham hanashim yoshvos, mivakos es hatamas. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of Hashem's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for tamas. Yechezkel was brought to the doorway that led into the actual temple building, into the heichal, in which was housed the temple vessels. There are several interpretations as to what these women were doing. Rashi says David explains that Tammuz was an idol made out of metal who was made to appear to cry begging for sacrifices. This was done by lighting a fire inside the idol, which would melt the metal and make it look like the idol was crying. The Rambam explains that Tammuz was a false prophet who was killed for advocating for worshiping constellations. His death was commemorated by women on the first day of Tammuz each year. The Abarbanel adds that the word Tammuz means burning. Women would mourn their children who had been burned in the service of Avodah Zarah as they listened to their cries. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, Hashem tells Yechezkel he will see even greater abominations. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, Vayavei osi el chatzar beis Hashem hapnimis. Hashem brings Yechezkel to the entrance to the temple building itself. He is standing in front of the ulam, the entrance hall, to the building, while still being in the temple courtyard, in the Azara. Now he is facing toward the east. Behind him stands the Heichal, with the Kodesh, and behind that, the Kodesh HaKadashim. What does he see? Ke'esrim v'chamisha ish. He sees 25 men. The word ke, like, comes to tell us that these men represent all of Israel. Achareihem el Heichal Hashem. Their backs are to the Heichal, to the temple building. Upnehem kedma. And their faces are facing east, so that they can bow down to the sun. If the people were facing east in sun worship, why does it need to mention their backs are to the temple? The Gemara Yuma 77a detects a nuance in these words. The men had uncovered themselves and defecated in front of the holy temple as part of the sun worship included in the service of Peor, the terrible idolatry that had killed so many in the days of Moshe in the desert in their battle against Midian. This was the ultimate insult. Hashem had specifically placed the Holy of Holies in the west to proclaim the message that the people did not need to worry about placating the gods of the sun and the gods of nature. Unlike the other examples brought in this parak where people were worshiping Hashem and idols simultaneously or in secret, here they turned their backs on God, disgraced him, and declared allegiance to the sun alone. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Hashem now asks Yechezkel, is what the house of Yehuda has done outside the Beis HaMikdash so trivial that they can now bring their abominations into the Temple Mount? And Hashem continues, it wasn't bad enough that the nation rejected Hashem. They also were violating the laws of society, mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro, ki malu es ha'aretz chamas, the land was filled with injustice. As we said in the last parak, the land was filled with chamas, injustice, which is what pushes the judgment of Hashem to destruction. V'nei sholchim es hazmora el apam. Behold, they are sending their foul smell to their noses. This phrase was changed to protect Hashem's honor. It is meant to read that the Jewish people were doing foul-smelling things, either in their service of Peor when sacrificing incense that rose to the nose of Hashem. Pasuk Yeches, verse 18. Hashem now concludes the parak, telling Yecheskel what the consequence of these increasingly disturbing modes of idol worship would be. Lo sachos eini velo echmol. My eyes shall not spare, nor will I have pity when bringing destruction. To summarize, in this parak, while Yecheskel is with a group of leaders, he is taken in a prophetic vision to the Beis HaMikdash. There Hashem shows him increasingly disturbing images of idolatry. The first was the vestige of idol worship on the Temple Mount. The next was a sneak peek into idol worship occurring in secrecy in people's homes. Then came idol worship that sat along the service of Hashem, done by women. Finally, we see idol worship completely supplanting any true service of Hashem. Hashem has been rejected as the people attach themselves to the sun god, believing that they are subject to the vagrancies of nature. In response to all of these actions, Hashem says he will have no pity on them and will not listen to their cries. In the next parak, we learn about how Hashem responds to this rejection in the Beis HaMikdash by removing his Shekhinah from there. Thank you for studying together the Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.